Last Sunday, a man named Nicodemus came to Jesus under cover of the night. Nicodemus had spiritual questions, but you know what? He just didn't get it when Jesus talked to him using metaphors. Just didn't get it. Today it's very different. We're in high noon, the brilliance and the heat of high noon. Jesus gets there because he's on a journey. He's had to get out of town for a while. He's heard rumors that the establishment are upset with him and his mission. And so he heads home, up north, to Galilee. To get to Galilee, you have to pass through Samaria. Now, the Samaritans were Jewish people who long ago intermarried with Arabs. They were mixed race. We'd call them Métis in Canada. The Samaritans worshipped in the mountains with a hint of the pagan gods lingering, while the good and proper Jews worshipped in the temple, and the establishment was in Jerusalem. The Samaritans were regarded as hillbillies and renegades. You can see the situation. So Jesus passes through. He's weary. He's physically thirsty, and he's theologically weary. It's kind of tiring, eh, having limited conversations with people who just don't get it, who don't get you. Is it tiring sometimes talking to people who just don't get you? It is, isn't it? So, there he sits. The disciples have gone to town to buy provisions. Jesus may be taking a moment to think, why is he on this journey and mission anyway? And a woman comes along. She's by herself. It's at high noon, and she comes with a water jar. Very strange time for a woman to be coming to draw water. The usual time was in the cool of the morning or the cool of the evening, along with other women to keep company, share some gossip. Well, there is only one reason why that woman was there by herself. She was being shunned. She had a bad name, and so she came at this time. And therein ensues a dialogue, which in fact is the longest recorded conversation in the Bible between Jesus and any other person. So it's very significant. And this story overflows with meanings. We could spend a month of Sundays on it. We'll take a crack, maybe, at one level of meaning as we go. So picture the scene, and I'd like to also invite you to think of something you're thirsty for. Are you thirsty for places, for a person, for a purpose that gets you, that receives you in the fullness of what you have to offer? Sometimes we have life inside us we want to share, and it's not being allowed to come forth. Sometimes we're thirsty for more than just physical water. Give me a drink, Jesus says to the woman. Well, not only does this become a theological conversation, it's with a racialized, sexualized, colonized woman at that. And it's not just any old well. This is Jacob's well. And to recap the history a little bit of Jacob, who also broke tradition, in Jesus' own tradition, maybe 1,000 years ago, I don't know, a couple thousand years ago, the way it always was to get watered is all the flocks got gathered up at the end of the day, and then the shepherds would come and they'd roll away the stone that was at the mouth of wells. And that was the routine. And after the shepherds came and rolled away the stone from Jacob's well, everyone would get watered, the people weary from their work and the animals. It's the way it was done for hundreds of years. Jacob, however, sees his beloved Rachel approaching in broad daylight. He can't wait to satisfy her thirst. And so he rolls away the stone himself and satisfies it. Well, anyone hearing this story will resonate with that earlier scripture. This wasn't just any woman either. This Samaritan woman had attitude. She dared to engage verbally with this Jewish stranger, a man to boot, and asked, well, what nerve did he have to ask her for a drink of water? Surely he would know that good Jews would not share a utensil with these interracial Samaritans. Jesus responded, perhaps, Shalom, as you'd hear in Jerusalem, and Alahayim, Alekum, as you'd hear in Palestinian territory, where Samaria is. Shalom Ahayim, I've been hoping that you would come along. A well is not much good if you can't reach the water, is it? So he starts off by getting on a level. He needs her to get access to living water. She's got the water jar. He's got the thirst. We need each other to access living water. The Samaritans, the Jews, the Canadians, the whoever. After some ground of mutuality is established, Jesus then in turn says, I've got something to offer you. It's living water. She retorts, that woman with the attitude, living water, you don't even have a bucket to draw the water with. She goes a little further. This time it's theological. And who do you think you are? Do you think you're an improvement on Jacob's well? This is the well of our ancestors. Jacob's water is good enough for us. But when Jesus starts talking about a kind of water that she can tap into inside herself, like a spring that'll never dry up, she gets interested. Oh boy, take this job and shove it. Imagine not having to come every day to haul this water and go back. That was the lot of women, you see, in those days. The men, as some commentators say, the men were doing more important things, like talking about politics and religion in the marketplace. Imagine living water so she wouldn't have to keep coming to draw water. Maybe she would be taking her place in the marketplace, saying a thing or two about religion or politics. At that point, they start to get progressively more real with each other. Here's a woman with a lot to offer. But she's been isolating. Maybe she's been shunned. Maybe she's been isolating herself or stuff to hide. And Jesus says matter-of-factly, you've had five husbands, haven't you? Yeah, I know. There is the one who got drowned when he was trying to fish for the family. There's the one who's in prison because he was part of the insurrection. There is the one who ran away because he left you for a younger woman. There is the one who died of alcoholism, broken-hearted. He couldn't support his family. There is the one you still hope you'll hear from. Unlike the commentators, Jesus simply got her and got the situation of colonized women in that day. They were lucky to have a man around at all, never mind whether they were married to them. And so as they get progressively real with each other, there's an acceptance that happens. It's marvelous, eh, when people get us and invite our gifts and our presence and even our love, despite those things that we think we have to hide from or hide from others. So the conversation goes on, and this time it gets deeper and deeper. So, the woman says, maybe wanting to deflect away from herself, so what do you think? Are the mountains the better place to worship God like our ancestors Jacob thought? Or is that big fat city temple the place that's the better place to build God? What do you think, you city boy? And Jesus says, you know, the time is coming when it really doesn't matter if it's on the mountain are in the temple and the city. In fact, the time is here when what counts is to be real and true to who we are, to bring that before God, and to have authentic conversations with each other, to learn from each other, to offer our gifts. The time is coming when we have to draw from a larger well. Jacob's well has served us well, but there are other living waters and other streams of truth. Let's discover them together. One of our own resident theologians, John Klassen, has written a book review of a book called The Great Emergence. You can read about it hot off the press in the TSP Times. And one of the things that Phyllis Trickle is saying is we are in an emergent time. We no longer just get our spiritual authority from one set of scriptures, as important as they are. We're being opened to an expanded sense of spiritual truth out there. Let's work with each other. And what we have is a conversation. What we have today is a conversation. I have to tell you that I stood at the place where the woman at the well supposedly stood. You know these tourist things. But in the town of Nablus, deep in the heart of the Palestinian territories, is a place where actually Jews, Muslims, and Christians believe could be the site of Jacob's well. It's pretty deep. And standing there in that Palestinian town, I can tell you we were surrounded by the Israeli army at that point. Nablus and the Samaritans are still out of favor, just as they were 3,000 years ago, for different reasons. Standing there, seeing the settlements on the hillsides, and then standing at that well, which is surrounded by a Coptic church, gave one pause to think. What we need are good conversations. When we come to the table, drop our water buckets and find another way to access living water. Well, a short comment before I close. I had an email from a friend the other day who sent me a little inspirational thing. It's called Taking the Risk, Permission to Be Real. People who keep it real present themselves as they truly are, the good parts, and the parts most of us would rather hide. Most of us are familiar with the idea of keeping it real, but it's hard sometimes to do that. The email goes on. And I'd invite us to ponder the fact that Jesus and the woman are keeping it as real as they can in the encounter between the Samaritan, renegade, colonized woman and a Jewish man struggling to expand his own understanding of God as well, not having all the answers, that they're both enlarged by the dialogue. They're both recharged and refreshed. How do we know? Well, when the disciples come back with something to eat, she takes off to the village, recharged, drops her water jug, just like the fishers dropped their fishing nets. She went on and she told people who normally wouldn't listen or believe her, saying, "You've got to come and see this guy." They came. As far as we know, she started a new career. She's named as the first apostle in some traditions. In Mexico, La Samaritana is remembered on the fourth Friday in Lent, when specially flavored water is given to commemorate her gift of water to Jesus. The Orthodox know her as Saint Fotini or Svetlana in Russian. I have relatives named Svetlana. I had no idea that the roots go back to the Samaritan woman. Her name means equal to the apostles. But in fact, she's unnamed in the Bible, which gives us more room to make it a universal story about what colonized women can do and be. Can you do what she did? Invite your friends and neighbors to a good conversation, perhaps to the well that we create together here. Of course you can. Let us pray. O God, in our Lenten encounters, We long to be real with ourselves, with you, to be met in the fullness of our being. And strangely enough, as we pour ourselves out, and what we have to offer is received, we feel recharged. Give us people who receive us in the fullness of our being, in the lightness of our being. Give us moments of people who listen and allow us. Give us the places and pauses that fill us when we're parched and help us access the deeper well within where your spring bubbles up into eternal life. Amen.